Exodus chapter 2 tonight. We're working as the Lord leads through the characters of the Old Testament. And we're coming tonight to Moses' parents. I have a different style than some preachers, but I'm all the time trying to work through something. You know, if you hoe the garden, you'll never get the garden hoed if you hoe a plant here and a plant there and a plant there. But we go by rows, you know, and we do it in order. And so I'm not bound by that, because if God leads us to do something else, I'm just going to obey and follow the Lord. But what I found out, and it's really always exciting to me, is that as you work through passages of Scripture, God, who's a whole lot smarter than me, is making plans and preparing. And I think it's very appropriate, and I thank the Lord that He's leading us tonight to a message on parents. And we've just got home from 2 weeks of camp with kids who want to serve the Lord. And it's very important to me. And we're going to look tonight at the Moses' parents. We'll begin our reading here in Exodus chapter number 2. And in just a minute, we'll look at Hebrews chapter number 11 for one verse. But look with me in Exodus chapter number 2, verse number 1. The Bible says, "And there went a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. And when she could not longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes, and daubed it with slime and with pitch, and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done to him. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, This is one of the Hebrews' children. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee? And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, Go. And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages. And the woman took the child and nursed it." This is such a beautiful story in God's word, but it's so representative of the faith life. You see, there's a moment here with great concern and worry. I can just look into the eyes of Jochebed, this mother who's got a baby that's only 3 months old, and her heart is boiling over with love for this baby. But I can look into her eyes as she realizes, 3 months in, I can't keep the Egyptian spies from hearing his cries much longer. And I'm out of resources and opportunities. And what's going to happen when this baby gets a little bit older and begins to walk? I mean, what am I going to do? I can see the desperation in her eyes. And I can watch her as she works diligently in the night, putting together an ark, a little basket, a boat, that she would lay her baby in and give him to God. And I watch her as she's left her child into the arms and care of God, and God takes this situation and turns it full circle. And her little girl, probably Miriam, comes running home and says, Mom, Pharaoh's daughter wants to take Moses, but she knows she can't nurse him, so she wants you to nurse him for you. And not only do you get to keep Moses, but Pharaoh's going to pay you to keep him. And I can see the joy in her heart and the opportunity. It's just something that only God can do. And quite frankly, if you're a parent, and if you've been a parent, or you're right in the middle of parenting like me, there are many days you think, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know that I have what it takes. The answer is you don't. And you can't. But I want you to know you can give your children to God and be a parent of faith, and God will do the work. And God will send the help and the aid and the opportunity. And God blesses faithful parents. God honors faithful parents. Keep your finger in Exodus chapter number 2 and turn with me over to Hebrews 11. As you go through the characters of the Old Testament, you've got to come occasionally to Hebrews chapter number 2, because God saw fit to exalt to a very high plane a certain group of people. To be among the names of in Hebrews 11 would be one of the greatest honors. And in this listing of names, you meet people like Abraham. You meet folks like Enoch and Abel and Noah and Jacob and Joseph and Moses. But I want you to look with me in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 23 and see what God has to say about Moses' parents. Hebrews 11, verse 23, the Bible says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment." What does God in His Word say about Moses' parents? They were people of faith. They were people of courage. They were people who understood the value of a child. And God honors them by listing their name in the great hall of faith. And now we'll turn back in our Bibles to our text, Exodus chapter number 2. As we look into this story and consider Moses' parents. In Hebrews 11, Moses' parents are mentioned together. The best situation you can have is a father and a mother. It's not always that way. And God orchestrates and works when it's not perfect. And when it's not set up, a mother and a father and a home. But the best situation that could ever be, and the best way to raise a child, is for a father and a mother who love Jesus and love one another to raise that child and those children for the glory of God. And we meet up here in Exodus chapter number 2, and there's a great emphasis here on the faith of Jochebed, Moses' mother. But it was a joint effort, and the Bible gives us clear instruction and lets us know that's the case. Old Jochebed, look what the Scripture says in verse number 1. "And there went a man of the house of Levi and took to wife a daughter of Levi, and the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." One more introductory point. As I've read this passage of Scripture just today, God's impressed on my heart. Just something so simple, but it must be said. It must be said over and over again. I am so thankful for the spirit of Jochebed and Amram. We know their names later in the Scripture. They're not listed here. But this man of the house of Levi and the wife who took to wife a daughter of Levi, Jochebed, these were a couple, a man and a woman, who fell in love and said, "We're going to be married." And after they were married, God blessed them with children. And when they had children, this man and this woman, they looked on their children and they knew there was something special about their children. And they saw in the lives of their children opportunity. And they saw in the lives of their children something that God could do. And they took very seriously the gift that God had given them of a baby boy. And I just want to just say it very plain. The children that God blesses us with are treasures sent from heaven. They are wonderful tools that God has entrusted us with to hone and sharpen and prepare for service to King Jesus. And every child that's born into our homes and born into our families, as God's Word says, are like arrows. They're like arrows that can accomplish a great work and do a great thing. And Amram and Jochebed, you know what? They took serious the fact that God had given them children. And they took very serious their responsibility as parents. Moses' parents, Jochebed. Look at this first of all this evening. Her human best. Her human best. Look what the Bible says in verse number 2. "The woman conceived and bare a son, and when she saw him that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months." What did Jochebed do? She did the very best that she could. She took very serious the opportunity that God afforded her to be a mother. It's a sad thing to think about, but there are so many mothers and fathers who have forsaken their responsibility as parents. You don't have to spend a lot of time around children to see the children whose parents are investing in their lives. And I don't know where you are, but if you're a mother, you should be investing in the lives of your children. If you are a father, as much and as important as the investment of a mother is the place of the father in the home raising children. Oh, it's so important. You know what she did? She did the best she knew how. Now, she wasn't perfect. Nobody is. But she did the best she knew how, and she worked really hard. And for 3 months, she hid that child. She wasn't afraid of the king, and she hid that child, and she was determined that to the best of her ability, that she would prepare that child, she would shelter and aid that child. She did her human best. Oh, I pray that God in our homes will give us a certain diligence about caring for our children. She did her human best. You know, the matter of discipline is a very difficult situation. And I'm raising children, so I'm no expert, I promise. And everybody I've talked to that have raised children, they're not experts either. There are no real experts in raising children unless you're about 20 years old. And then you think you know it all. But there are no real experts because they're all different. But you know, we should be working diligently and paying attention and doing our best, our human best, to raise our children. I'm afraid that a lot of the problem that we have with children today is we found ways to pacify them instead of discipline them. Now, I'm not talking about beating children. You should never. But quite frankly, we should get to the place as parents where we are willing to give the time and deal with the things that are difficult. Look, you catch your child in a lie, it is your responsibility to diligently stay after that situation until you've got a confession. If you find your child in rebellion, it's our duty as parents to bring those children to a place where they submit to the God-given authority. If they won't submit to mom and dad, they'll never submit to God. It's work. I heard this and read it. I should say I read this the other day. There is nothing on, no person on earth more tired than the mother. There's only one person on earth that's more tired than the mother of a little boy who never stops moving. That's the mother of a little girl who never stops talking. And parenting is not easy. And some of us are and some of us aren't. But as a church family, we have an opportunity to hold up the arms of the parents, and we should be investing in parents, and we should be determined as parents and grandparents and great-grandparents to be doing the work and being willing to roll up our sleeves and do what is necessary to be the kind of parents that God saved us to be and raise children that respect authority and raise children who love God and raise children who know order and structure. Right from wrong, and not children who have just been put off to the side, pacified, so that we as adults can go about our greater work. I'll have you know something. You may be a brain surgeon and a father, but the greatest work that you have is the work of being a father. It's more important than brain surgery. And you may be a lawyer, but I'll tell you, the work of a lawyer pales in comparison to the in importance to the work of being a father, a mother, a parent. Oh, may we keep our priorities straight. And Amram and Jochebed are two parents who God lauded and praised because guess what they did? They're human best. There's no room for laziness and slothfulness in the life of mothers and fathers. May we invest faithfully in our children. What'd she do? Her human best. But then she came up against something that we all should and will come up against, her helpless state. She found herself helpless. The Bible says she hid him 3 months. Man, she was doing her best. But verse number 3, the Bible says, and when she could not longer hide him. I can see the conversation and hear it going on between these parents. Jochebed's been out working a toilsome day as a slave in Egypt, and he comes back to the house at night, and Jochebed has been concerned and praying during the day about what to do and not certain, knowing that we don't just give our baby over to what the king wants. We don't just roll our kids over on society and let them ruin them if they want to. We're not going to be those kind of people who let the world taint our children, or in Moses' case, kill our children. But I'll just have you know something. The taint of sin from the world on the lives of your children is the death and the condemnation of your child. The wages of sin is what? Death. On many occasions, I've looked children, young people in the eyes and say, look, I don't want to preach your funeral, but if you continue in sin, I will. I'll have to. And I don't want our children to be just given over to the world. And Moses and Amram and Jochebed said that we're not going to do that about our kid. And Amram had come home, and Jochebed had been concerned during the day, and she said, honey, I don't know if we can do this much longer. She said, I can't hide him anymore. And I can see the tears running down her face, and I can feel the knot in her gut, and I don't know if we can do this anymore. She got to a place where it was out of her control. And I'll just tell you, if we're honest, the matter of rearing children as parents is something that's bigger than any of us. You can't have all the answers. You can't know all the perfect things to do. I'm a student of parenting. I want to help parents. I want to be a godly parent. But I'll just tell you something. I am an inferior parent. And so are you. You can't know everything that child's going to face. You can't give that child everything that he or she needs. You can't be the parent that you ought to be apart from God. You know what she found? She said, I'm helpless. Now here's the difference between a God-fearing Christian parent and a parent in the world. An honest parent in the world gets to the place where they have to throw up their hands and say, I can't do this all. I just can't understand it. I don't know the right things to do. I don't know what their future holds. I've tried this, I've tried that, and I can't seem to get anything accomplished. The difference between a parent of faith and a parent without faith in Christ is the next point. The next point is this: Amram's and Jochebed's labor of faith. Do you know what God did? God did something very unique in Jochebed's heart and Amram's heart. God led Amram and Jochebed to do something that is very unusual. As a matter of fact, if you come to me and say, look, I'm having trouble with my child, I'll just tell you, I'm not going to counsel you. Go home tonight, build you a really good boat that'll float good, wait till the water gets high, and in faith, throw your child over the river bridge and float to his destiny. I'm not going to say that. I'm not going to tell you that. Some of you say there are days that I would like to hear that. It was yesterday. But God led godly parents to trust God with their child. Here's the deal. If you're halfway in, halfway out of God's will and the Word of God and your faith and your life with Christ as a parent, you may not be prepared and you may not be able to hear the still small voice of God that leads you to take care of your child in a way that only a parent can know. But we should take note and we should take courage and we should pay attention to the lives of parents, godly parents, that are exalted for their faith in God's Word, and understand that God leads parents to do specific things to help their specific child, because you don't know what to do and you can't hide them anymore, but God knows the plan of their life. He knows their personality. He knows the greatest end for them. He wants what's best for them. And if you'll humble yourself and serve the Lord and trust the Lord, He'll lead you in a plain path. You know what she did? God began to work in her heart. And she acted on the moving of the Spirit of God in her life. And she built an ark. and daubed it with pitch and slime and prepared it. And she worked diligently. I bet there's never been a little basket made with greater care than that one. I'm personally convinced that it was seasoned with the tears of a mother. But God led her, and God blessed her. And folks, we should be laboring in faith, believing. Our labor should be a labor of faith in regards to raising our children. We should be praying, seeking God, seeking His wisdom, being led by the Spirit of God. It's important that parents keep their kids in church, but it's more important that parents attend church with their children. It's important that parents spend time in God's Word. It's important that parents live for Jesus. It's important that parents have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Why? Because God's going to lead you to be parents, and He's called you to a labor of faith that only you can provide for your child. Oh, may the Lord help us. What did Jochebed do? She labored in faith. She gave her child to God. I don't know about you, but it doesn't take too long to realize that parenting's above me. I always joke and say, that's above my pay grade. And it is. And it is. But it's not above God's pay grade. And He'll guide us as parents to serve God faithfully and to raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What did Jochebed do? She took that baby. She set it in the edge of the river, in the river's brink, among the bulrushes, and left him to God and said, "This is your child. You've trusted me with your child. We know he's special." She gave him to God. There comes times in our lives where we've got to take our hands off, right? She took her hands off the situation. She'd worked as hard as she could. She labored faithfully, in faith, believing God. She laid him there at the river's brink and stepped away. And guess what happened? God met her labor of faith with His great faithfulness. God met her there. Look what the Bible says. I love the story. I can see her as she laid it, verse number 3. She laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And his sister stood afar off to wit what would be done. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and her maidens walked along by the riverside. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. Now, sometimes in the movie, there's an old animated movie, and I can still remember the animation. It's like she chucked the baby into floodwaters. But that's not what she did. She set the baby in the edge of the water and stepped away. But God began to work that moment. Guess what happened? God sends one of the most powerful women in all of Egypt by. She notices the basket. As she walks by with her maiden, she sends someone down to get the basket. They bring the basket up, and I can just imagine, I don't know if it had a lid or not, but the way I've dreamed it up, is they open the lid. I don't see what the Bible says about it. And when, there it is, actually. And when she had opened it, it did have a lid of some sort. God's Word says so. I just couldn't remember. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. I've circled those three words in my Bible. The babe wept. I believe God pinched him. At just the right moment, that baby cried just the right pitch to stir the motherly instinct in that heathen heart. And she fell in love with that baby right there. God did it. You see, she let her baby go, Jochebed did. And God began to work. God pinched him when he needed to be pinched. God protected him when he needed to be protected. And God did a great work. Look what her faithful Lord did. Pharaoh's daughter had compassion on him, verse 6, and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter. By this time, Miriam's made her way up to see what's going down. Then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to thee a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for thee?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give thee thy wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. Guess what God did? She labored in faith, and she rested in God. And God proved himself faithful, just like he always does. God proved himself faithful. She gave him to God. And when she gave him to God, guess what God did? "Here, you can have him back with wages. Here, you can have him back with opportunity. Here, you can have him back." God will use him. I have seen so many people faithlessly keep their hands on their children and tie them down and protect them. You just said, preacher, you need to work hard to protect them. I did. But I also want you to know something. There is a wonderful balance in God's Word. Some parents have protected them and fearfully raised their children, faithlessly raised their children, and put them in a padded box and lose them forever. Afraid to give them to God. Afraid to let them live for God. Afraid to allow them to make decisions as God leads them as children. And they end up with little holy terrors. And they lose them. But what did she do? She gave them to God. God gave him back. God did a great work in Moses' life. Most of us know the story. Those few years or months, whatever they were, I believe there were a few years that Jochebed invested in Moses' life, prepared him to go to Pharaoh's palace, to stand up against the world, to be used of God in such a mighty way. The same chapter in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, says of Moses, "By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the children of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect to the recompense of the reward." What did Moses do? The investment of his little mama in his life was more powerful than the whole world. And God used him in about 80 years to deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage. Oh my. I'm praying that God will use the children of the Chilhowee Baptist Church. I'm praying that God will use the children in my home as we labor in faith, believing God, giving them to the Lord, working faithfully, living for Jesus, led by His Spirit. I'm praying God will use our children in a mighty way to do great things for God and His glory. But the parents play a vital role. You should either be a parent today or you should be supporting parents as God's people. And we thank God for that privilege. Someone said it like this: "The hand that rocks the cradle rules the world." And we have a great opportunity to invest in the lives of the young people that God has entrusted us with. May God help us to be faithful parents. Let's pray.